Braden. It's good to have children, the noise of children in the service, isn't that right? It's good to have kids that squeal or giggle or laugh or sometimes cry. Yeah. A church without those noises in it is a church with just old people like you and I. All right, on that note, humility is something that when you believe that you have it all figured out, you have the danger of falling into pride. When you start to think that I am a pretty humble person, you're taking pride in your humility and you've got it wrong. The Bible tells us that humility is putting others first. Not thinking of yourselves more highly than we ought and laying down our lives, similar to what we see Jesus do. But also serving each other at a cost, whether that be a cost to our comfort or our time or our finances. A great humility example is what we have here in this passage this morning, of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, the dirtiest part of their body. Now we're continuing on through John in this Passion Week, this week leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we've come to the night before the Passover celebration. Now each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, portray Jesus in a slightly different way. The emphasis that they have is totally different in some areas. Matthew was written to a Jewish audience, and so he focuses a lot on the feasts and the traditions and how Jesus' life fulfills that. Mark focuses on how Jesus was always on the move toward the cross, that his ultimate goal was the cross. All of the Gospels do this, but Mark's main focus is that. And Luke portrays Jesus as the perfect physician. Luke was actually a physician, and he shows how Jesus healed people both physically and ultimately spiritually. Luke wrote to a Gentile audience, and so these non-Jewish people, and he wrote so that they would see that Jesus was the one for which salvation was to come, or through which salvation came. And it was not just for the Jewish people. But John, however, portrays Jesus in a way that is unlike all of the other Gospels. He portrays Jesus as the servant king. He shows that Jesus is the one who serves his disciples and serves mankind and serves people right until the ultimate goal of his death. The Son of Man that was willing to lay down his life in order that people might have salvation and reconciliation with God was what Jesus' ultimate goal was, or mission was. And this is why there's more attention paid to the feet washing event in the Last Supper rather than the traditions or the ceremony surrounding the Last Supper. You'll actually notice that there's no mention of the bread and the juice in John's Gospel. And from these first few verses of chapter 13, we see the way in which John portrays Jesus as the servant king. That Jesus had a deep awareness of the arrival or the impending arrival of his hour, meaning the cross, and that he knew that his purpose for why he came to the earth and that time was coming, drawing close. But secondly, it shows us the extent of love for his own that he had for us, or particularly for his disciples and all mankind. He loved them to the end, it says. And thirdly, we can see the activity of the devil through Judas against Jesus. Fourthly, we see his certainty, Jesus' certainty of his divine origin and his divine destination, that he was from God and that he was going back to God. We see that in verses 1 through to 5. But the greatest way in which we see that Jesus was the greatest example of a servant king comes from verses 4 and 5. If you've got your Bibles open there, have a read with me. Jesus rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, there's a lot of information in Scripture that is sometimes lost on us because of our lack of understanding of Jewish culture of the time, the customs that people had. The way in which Jesus removes himself from the table, a position of authority, of power, and then he discards his outer robes, his outer garments. Again, another thing that showed a person's position of standing within a society, within the society. But then he takes the form of a servant. Not just any form of a servant, not just any kind of a servant, not the head servant, but the lowest of the lowest, demonstrates to us his humility and servant attitude. When throwing a party, Jewish households would, or having guests over for an evening meal, Jewish households would position a slave by the front door. And this slave would basically just have on very plain attire, and they would have a basin, a water jug or a pitcher, and a towel to wash people's feet as they came through the door. The servant would actually remove and untie the person's sandals and rinse each foot and then wipe them clean with the towel, removing any dirt or grime and making the person clean to enter the household. Jesus knew that he was the one that was from God and was going back to God, and yet he demonstrates his willingness to serve others through an act of complete humility. Not humiliation, but humility. If anyone in the room deserved to be treated as a king, it was Jesus. And if anyone deserved to be served, it was Jesus. And yet he took it upon himself to be the servant of all, even Judas. And the disciples sat in silence as Jesus did this act of humility to them. That is, until we get to Peter. Peter objects, and I love Peter. He speaks with his mind out of gear before he thinks about it, which I am prone to do as well. But he objects and he says, "Would you wash my feet?" Basically saying, "Jesus, as if I'm going to let you wash my feet." His objection and refusal, but then over dramatic reversal of his attitude and response is characteristic of Peter. Jesus' answers to Peter's refusal for his feet being washed relates closely to our salvation. Jesus was anticipating Peter to accept this act of service with grace and humility and faith. And the grace that Jesus is showing here to Peter, and as we will see as we go on to see the cross, it is to be received with faith. The grace that Jesus gives us is to be received with faith. Otherwise, we have no part with Jesus. God's grace, or Jesus, was showing grace to Peter through this act of humility. And God's grace is given freely to us through Christ's salvation, but it is to be accepted with faith and for us to continue in that faith. Now, I'm sure many of us can be a little bit like Peter from time to time. When it comes to accepting an act of complete humility and grace like this, we refuse and think that we cannot accept that. I can't take that from you. I can't accept that from you. Or we have no need for what is on offer from someone because of all our needs are met. Sadly, we deny a person the joy of giving when we refuse something like that. Now, none of us would dare to say it, but we might even go as far to say that there is no way I would accept anything from such and such a person. Whether that person is of a lower socioeconomic standing or they're just less desirable or even they're unlikable. We might even go as far to say that we would never extend grace to someone like that, let alone receive it from them. Well, grace and humility go hand in hand. If we are willing to humble ourselves and accept the grace that is offered from Jesus through the cross, we are also needed to accept grace from others as well. Undeserved favor. To accept it through humility. But we also need to continue to grow in this grace and humility and learn to accept things like this from others. If we are willing to accept salvation from Christ Jesus, which is on offer freely, undeserved, to humble ourselves before God and thank Him for the salvation that is on offer, and yet we're not able to extend grace to others, it's hypocrisy in the highest form. It's not Christ-like. It's not what we see here in this passage this morning. Grace is something that is central to our faith. The undeserved favor of God displayed in Christ Jesus, that while we were sinners and enemies with God, Christ died for us. And unless we are able to accept that grace, but also grow in our giving out of grace, we have no part with Christ. We see the greatest example of grace and humility coupled together this morning. Have a look again with me at verses 12 to 17. Verse 12, Jesus, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus gives his disciples and us as well a great example of grace and humility coupled together. He gives us a tangible, hands-on example of what it looks like to serve one another. Those who humble themselves and serve others will eventually be exalted as Jesus was. Have a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." These words from the Apostle Paul are meant to shock us, and they show the extent in which Christ Jesus was willing to go in order to serve others, serve us, and serve God the Father. He was willing to die. But before that, he was willing to take the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, leaving his eternal throne in heaven above, leaving his omnipotent, all-present, all-knowing status, and being confined to the form of a human being. But then not just to live a life and then die naturally, but to die on a cross. Again, the worst kind of death, the kind of death that was reserved for the worst of criminals, and to be cursed for our sake. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. That's the example we have to follow. The example of complete humility and service, regardless of our status or our bank account or how we feel on the day. If you're anything like me, you'll find it hard to serve others sacrificially. Just like Jesus' disciples did. And sometimes you'll find it hard to accept sacrificial service as well. The temptations we all face when we're faced with an opportunity to serve one another or to serve one person is that we pull back within ourselves. We seek to find our own comfort or our own peace or to protect our own interests. But in order to understand and to grow in that understanding of the depth of grace that has been shown to us, we need to practice deep grace towards others as well. Undeserved favor. I'm not talking about random acts of kindness, but that's kind of something in there. But to serve someone who is difficult to serve. Please don't go from here and find someone that you find hard to serve and do that this morning. But we won't even begin to scratch the surface of the depths of the grace that has been shown to us, but we will begin to understand it. Jesus is our example of what true service looks like, of what true humility looks like. And he shows it to us through washing the disciples' feet this morning. I thought about this long and hard this week. About what would I do after the message? And I thought about it long and hard again. And then I thought about it some more. And I thought, I can't give a message about humility and service of others without being willing to open up opportunities for this tangible example. Now, I'm not going to make anyone do anything that they're uncomfortable with. But that being said, I would like to wash my wife's feet and the leaders' feet this morning, and then open it up to anyone else who would like to wash anyone else's feet. I understand that our feet are not the most attractive parts of our body. And this is why this is such a good example. This is why this is such a good example of getting to know someone to the point of washing their dirtiest part, their smelliest part. So I ask if Aaron and the leaders and Jody, if you would come forward. Again, if you would like to decline, I'm okay with that. But after that, I welcome anyone else who would like to do that. There are a couple of buckets here with water and disinfectant in them, and towels, enough towels for everyone. If you grab a cup full of water and then hold the person's foot over the basin that is there and pour water over and then dry it, you're welcome to do that. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example that we have here of Jesus in complete humility and service of others. We thank you for the tangible example of showing us how to serve others, not just by washing each other's feet, but by being able to do other things for other people. And not just for those within the church, but those outside of the church as well. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in our grace and humility towards you and towards others. I pray, Lord, that we would see the way in which you call us to love without holding back. Help us, Lord, to grow in that grace and that love. Not to be thinking of that I can't do that because of my own standing or the other person's own standing. But Lord, to put that all aside and to acknowledge the fact that we are all sinners saved by grace. That there is level ground at the foot of the cross. There is none that is greater or lesser. I thank you that you have created us that way. And I pray, Lord, that now as we do this, that this would be a wonderful time for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.